This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
In October 2019, Arlington, Texas was chosen to be the home of a new national museum, unlike any other. The National Medal of Honor Museum will be a unique home of military history. The 100,000 square foot museum will house exhibits, archives, and artifacts relating to the 3,500 U.S. troops who have been awarded the medal, the nation's highest honor for valor in combat. The museum will have 31,000 square feet of galleries dedicated to U.S. troops who have received the award. The museum CEO, former Navy SEAL and NASA astronaut Chris Cassidy, said the museum will focus on education as much as preservation. The building will have five areas dedicated to Medal of Honor winners from the Army, Marine Corps, Navy, Air Force, and Coast Guard. The main gallery will be located in a central plaza under a 25,000 square foot slab of steel, which will appear to be suspended in midair. It will be supported by five pillars. Black Rifle Coffee is a corporate sponsor of the museum, as are the Dallas Cowboys. The museum's board also includes over a dozen major corporations and six Medal of Honor recipients, including David Bellavia, Patrick Brady, and Britt Slabinski. Army Staff Sergeant Bellavia was awarded the medal for clearing an entire house by himself on November 10, 2004, as a squad leader in support of Operation Phantom Fury in Fallujah, Iraq. He killed four enemy fighters and wounded a fifth in close quarters battle. Army Major General Brady flew and coordinated the evacuation of 51 seriously wounded men during a firefight in Vietnam in January 1968. Slabinski, a Navy SEAL chief and team leader, led a rescue team of SEALs during Operation Anaconda in Afghanistan in March 2002. Slabinski and his team flew to a mountaintop ambush site to rescue Petty Officer First Class Neil Roberts, who had fallen from the back of a helicopter. Slabinski led the team through almost constant combat against an entrenched Taliban force. Along with the board members, former presidents Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, George W. Bush, and Barack Obama serve as honorary directors. The museum is expected to open to the public in late 2024.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back.
Misfit Nation Show.
We are a show founded by a veteran and hosted by two veterans and a military spouse. Our mission is to get people to tell their stories to the world. If you're an author, share your tips with the Misfit Nation. If you're a musician or an actor, our audience needs to know how they too can get into the business. Coaches, we love our coaches. Come on and share your tips with Misfit Nation to help them become better versions of themselves. If you are a corporate leader or an entrepreneur, come on and show how you did it and how hard you have fought for success. If you are a veteran, first responder, or Gold Star family, we would love to have you come on and share your story with the Misfit Nation. We always have time for you. If you're feeling down, alone, or starting to see the darkness, stop. Think about those who are around you. You are not alone. You will be missed. If you feel like your problems will be a burden to those in your inner circle or feel embarrassed, dial 988. If you are a veteran, take option one. We need you to keep pushing forward. Don't make a permanent solution to a temporary problem. If you are a new listener, welcome to the Misfit Nation Show. Be sure to subscribe to our show on your favorite podcast app. Also on our YouTube channel at @_MisfitNation. Subscribe and click the bell to keep you up to date on our latest episodes and all of our news. You can also find us on Heroes Media Group and About Face Radio. Now, let's get to the show!
Misfit Nation. All right. Welcome to a Thursday after dinner show. RJ, how are you tonight?
What's going on, Rich, man? Pretty good. I'm excited about today, man. We got Tracy today.
Awesome, man. Glad to see you upright. I know you had some a little health issue earlier in the week, and we sent money as good energy to you as we could. I know you were on the East Coast. We're in East Coast time right now, but we weren't close enough to help you out. But thankfully, you're with us tonight and doing well.
Yeah, much better, man. Much better.
Good. You got that care you needed. And today we'll start the show with a little solemn note. We lost 5 Marines in San Diego today in a helicopter crash. So everyone out there, let's raise them glasses and think about those families that are right now getting that notification that they lost their loved ones today in the helicopter crash off of San Diego, coming back from a training mission. That's probably the worst call to get after a training mission. You accepted it in combat. You know that, RJ. I mean, we were out there. You know, you expect to have the possibility, but in training, you don't want to see it. And It's a hard day for us. So tonight, like you said, RJ, we have a great guest, Tracy. She's the founder of Self Made You and the co-host of Tracy and Gracie Becoming Podcast. It's a certified life coach who helps men and women learn how to think, to achieve goals, and overcome the obstacles in their life. So I think we'll just bring it on, RJ. What do you think?
I think so, man. It's worthy. It's that time, man.
It definitely. Let's bring it in. Tracy, welcome to the show.
Welcome, Tracy.
Thank you. I'm super excited about being here. This is going to be fun.
It's awesome to have you, Tracy. Like me and RJ, we were just chatting about you, and it'd be great for you to tell the audience a little more about you from as far back as you want to go to how we got to what we're doing now.
Yeah. So I am a certified life coach, and I came to the life coaching industry in a very unconventional way. I spent 20 years in the advertising industry. I was an executive for a majority of that time. Absolutely loved the work. It was really fun working on kind of the sexy brands and working with the highly creative people. But I knew that I was meant to do something else. I always felt like I was an entrepreneur trying to fit into a employee's body. Mm-hmm. And I finally called time out after 20 years and decided that I was going to really pursue my bigger dream of owning my own business and really working with people in a more inspiring, purpose-driven way. And I know that I'm not unique in the fact that I had a lot of obstacles and challenges that I personally really, suffered through, like overeating and over drinking. those are probably the two biggest, but I also could really relate to some of my current clients right now who struggle with under-earning or overspending or, healing relationships. And I really started to think about, why is it that we constantly suffer from our own thinking, like our own self-saboteur type narratives? Why are we sabotaging ourselves? We know what it is we want, but yet we all find ourselves kind of in this perpetual spin. So those of us who struggle with weight, we might be able to lose the weight, but we can't keep the weight off because we sabotage ourselves. And so I really set out to create a movement where people could better understand themselves and better understand how they could learn to trust themselves, really learn to rely on themselves, stop thinking of themselves as the problem, the common denominator to all their problems, and start thinking of themselves as the potential solution. And so that's how Self Made You was birthed. It literally was birthed from trying to overcome my own problems of overeating and over drinking and putting together a framework, a system that creates self-confidence, self-trust, self-reliance. And it can be applied literally in any circumstance, under any condition. So I know that I can teach your listeners how to rely on themselves. It takes about 5 minutes, and it's truly the education that I don't think many of us were afforded as young people. I remember going through school and being taught what to think, and then being tested on my ability to be able to memorize what I was taught to think. But nobody taught me how to think. Literally, nobody teaches you how to think. And so that's what Self-Made You does. We fill that gap. And so majority of the time I'm teaching adults how to think, but what I find to be so fascinating is typically if those adults have children, I end up coaching the children because they recognize the value and they're like, oh my God, why didn't anybody ever teach me this when I was younger? And I want my kids to know this. So
I mean, I'm already like, why didn't somebody teach me this? Like you're saying like, we're the solution, right? You know, I'm like, how is the, you know, I've gone so long where the solution is always outside of me, you know?
Exactly.
And so explain a little bit. I know you was just kind of wrapping up on your spiel from the beginning of time to now, but I'm just so excited about this. I got to know, like, what do you mean by, you know, the solution, you know, that's being the secret to life?
Yeah. So most people who are feeling overwhelmed or frustrated or afraid, it's because they haven't really made a decision. If they find themselves feeling out of control because they haven't truly made a decision about what it is that they actually want. So whatever the circumstance may be, maybe you're suffering from over drinking. I mean, that's a common, you know, one of life's common curveballs that I see a lot, especially with women, that they get home at night and they open up the bottle of wine to take the edge off. And before they know it, the whole bottle is gone. And then this becomes a pattern, a cycle.
You can't spell solution without a bottle.
Yeah. And so I want them to first understand what is the feeling that is really like perpetuating that, you know, them going and reaching for the bottle. Like there is a feeling right there that is actually driving that behavior. But most people don't slow down enough to really pinpoint what feeling is driving that behavior. It's like, it almost feels like they're doing it on autopilot because it's become such a habit. So a heightened sense of awareness around what's actually driving that behavior is really where we start. So is it stress? Is it disappointment? Is it overwhelm? It's typically an unwanted feeling, or what most people would call, quote unquote, a negative feeling that drives some sort of buffering type behavior, because we think that as human beings, we're incapable of actually allowing an unwanted feeling to be there. We think we need to run away from it, or we think we need to numb it, right? That's why most people will turn to food or alcohol, because they want to dull the feeling that they believe subconsciously that they can't handle. And so having a heightened sense of awareness around what is the feeling that's driving me to overeat or overdrink or overspend or under-earn, what is that feeling? Because it's just an emotion, and we are all capable of allowing a feeling to be there without having to like indulge in it or succumb to it or buffer it. We can just allow it to be there. But most of us don't believe that because of the way that we were brought up. You know, we were all, we were taught, you know, boys don't cry or get over it or shake it off. Right. It's like, that's, emotions are actually meant to be felt, but we grow up in a society, in a culture that really doesn't support that. And so that's the first thing I want people to know. But second to that, I want people to really wrap their arms around learning how to trust themselves, learning how to rely on themselves, learning to stop trying to find the answer outside of themselves, and instead utilize themselves. So I use the acronym SELF, S-E-L-F. Okay. So the S is start with a decision. What is it that you want? Now, this seems like such an obvious question to be asking yourself, but I promise you, most people in the heat of the moment, they don't ask themselves that question. And if they do, they don't answer it. They might ask it, and then they just don't answer it. So,
and if they do, they don't get the answer anyway.
Anyway, this is back at square one.
Right. Yeah. So you might ask yourself, you know, what is it that I'm actually wanting? So instead of reaching for the bottle of wine, what is it that I want? I want to feel calm. I want to feel relaxed. Okay, why do I want to feel that way? So you're starting with a decision. You're asking yourself questions. What is it that I want? And why do I want it? That's another really important question to ask yourself. Why do I want it? You want to make it meaningful, you know, and really mm-hmm. like your reasons behind that. So that's the S. Start with a decision. The E is eliminate the self-sabotage. Now, we all, as human beings, we all have this 3-pound organ that exists between our ears called your brain. If you were to split it straight down the middle, the left side is what I call your primitive brain. And it's the part of your brain that runs on autopilot. It's missioned with keeping you alive. It's got a survival function to it. And it does that with a lot of very dramatic narratives. Don't do that, or you shouldn't do that. It has a lot of concrete.
Isn't that like the side where it's like the fight or flight side?
Exactly. Right?
Yep.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So it's just like hardwired in, goes to what's comfortable for us.
That's exactly right. So yeah. There are 10 narratives that are probably amongst the most common. The judge is the most universal, where you're either judging yourself or you're judging others or you're judging a circumstance. So, you shouldn't have said that to me, or I've never been able to lose weight, therefore I never will, or I'll be happy once I, achieve this rank. So it's a lot of these judgmental thought patterns where, and like I said, it's very universal. The people pleaser is another very universal self-sabotaging narrative. The hyperachiever, that narrative has you really attaching your self-worth to your achievements. So if you have any sort of failure or you fall short, you feel unworthy if you're listening to those narratives. So by knowing which narrative you're most prone to hearing, you will eliminate the risk of sabotaging what it is that you want. So you start with a decision about what it is that you want, and then you become aware of what.
Yeah, you got the hand gestures out there.
So there you go. So by becoming aware of which saboteur narratives you're most prone to hearing, you're less likely to react from those thoughts, and you're more likely to respond. You're more likely to question the thought patterns versus having a knee-jerk reaction. Like the thought pattern of, I need to eat that right now, otherwise it might not be there when I come back.
Yeah.
And then eating it, that's a knee-jerk reaction. And that was a very dramatic thought.
Then you get guilty.
Exactly. So you start with a decision, you eliminate the self-sabotage. The L is leveraging the prodigy brain strength. So you've got that 3-pound organ in between your ears. The left side is the primitive. The right side is what I like to call your prodigy brain, because it's the more extraordinary part of your brain. It's technically called your prefrontal cortex, but this is the part of your brain that you can actually respond. You can actually slow down. You can actually process. So it takes intention. You actually have to activate that part of your brain, but that is truly the more extraordinary part, but you have to activate it. It's not going to operate off of default like your primitive brain does. Yeah. So when you're operating from that part of your brain, purely and virtually through just having a heightened sense of awareness, now you can tap into things like empathy, discovery, innovation, These are all strengths that are available to you only from your prodigy brain. So again, you get there simply through the awareness of the thoughts and the feelings that you're having, because it takes intention.
So and I know you got to get to the F, but I got to comment on that. You know, when I was a kid, you know, and I know a lot of us can relate, you know, I got hurt, or, you know, my first breakup in third grade. I don't know what grade, but but, you know, you go home and, but then like your mom is like, oh, be quiet. It's not that bad. You know, don't cry about it. You know, and, you know, or your family, it doesn't matter. You know, you just used to that. Right. But I remember coming back from deployment, and I saw, you know, I went to therapy, and this was kind of mostly related to war and divorce, right? And she told me to look at a secondhand clock and had me like follow just the second hand. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know it at the moment. I was like, this is so stupid. Like, why am I breathing and looking at the secondhand clock? Years later, I discovered that she was teaching me how to slow down and be in the present. And that was using that right side of my brain. And of course, you know, Rich know this. I'm deep into music. I love music production, electronic music production and house music, stuff like that. And I kind of found ways to kind of slow down, be in the present, and use my, what you say, prodigy brain.
Yeah. That's exactly it. It's any time that you can be intentional, where you can heighten your level of awareness, that is when you are operating at a higher level. You're using that higher brain. And that's when you can start to leverage all of the strengths that are available only when you're operating from that brain. So empathy.
That's good.
Having empathy for yourself is a great, like, way to get through that door. Like, a lot of people ask me, how do you cross the bridge from the primitive to the prodigy brain? You can simply do it by asking yourself, like, what's the most loving and compassionate thing I can tell myself right now? Have empathy for yourself, or if you can't do it for yourself, how about having empathy for somebody else? That emotion will get you operating from your prodigy brain. So discovery is another great strength. You can ask yourself, like, what are all the factors involved with this situation that I might not be noticing? So SEL, the final and fourth step, is finish with a decision. So the first decision, the first step and the fourth step are the exact same, but this final step is, what is the next best step that I can take that's so easy it's hard not to do? So you decide what it is that you want, you eliminate the risk of self-sabotage, you leverage your prodigy brain strengths like empathy and discovery and innovation, and then you finish by asking yourself, okay, what's the next best step that I can take that's so easy it's hard not to do? So it's so simple, right? And these compounded incremental steps is getting you to where it is that you want to be way quicker than if you were over here spinning out in your primitive brain, fear-based narratives.
One of our audience and former guest, Darren Davis, a great friend of the show, he put, this might not be a thing for Marines. he's straight up and honest.
He has to try it.
There's crayons involved and such. They can do it, but there's too much. Too many factors going on. Sorry, Willis.
Oh man, that's funny. Maybe we can use colors, Crayola colors. I'm not sure that might. Yeah.
Crayola is always involved. You know that. You gotta get all the reds out. You know, separate the colors and, you know, whatever flavor that means to them. That's what works.
Yeah. But I'm quite sure is. Go ahead, man.
Go ahead, RJ.
Oh no, no. I was just gonna say, you know, I'm quite sure. You know, you run into people like that too. You know, I'm always skeptical about everything. You know, and and to be hearing something like this for the first time, you know, I'm like, you know, come on, get out of here. You know, that, like, like life is always demanding things from us and always wanting our time and always wanting us to be present for other things. Mm-hmm. And I can, this really does kind of is good for this today's society to be able to slow down, be in the present. The empathy part, I'll probably get there, but
That's another one.
Well, and when you learn how to like start to trust yourself and you start to rely on yourself to navigate through some of these challenges, what you'll quickly realize is that you stop blaming outsiders, events, people, things for any of your challenges. You start taking ownership, you know, and because you can and learn and build capacity to actually like get, you know, figure out how to get over these obstacles yourself. And so I know that we can probably all agree there's a lot of finger pointing going on right now in our world. Yeah. And that's because we're all, you know, we want to be able to blame someone or something for all of our problems. And you can free yourself from feeling any sort of resentment, any sort of, you know, frustration or overwhelm by taking back the responsibility, by recognizing that you do have the capacity to solve all of your problems. You don't have to point the finger. You can actually utilize yourself.
Can I play a little devil's advocate?
You bet.
So, you know, there's probably a fine line between empathy and guilt. And so a lot of us don't want to, you know, bring on that guilty feeling that, okay, well, instead of pointing the finger, I'm feeling guilty about something, you know, or whatever, you know, guilty that I failed my family, I'm not making enough money, or things of that nature. And then you feel guilt. But how do we shift that pendulum to where it's empathy and not guilt?
Yeah. So guilt is not an emotion that is going to drive any sort of sustainable, long-lasting, positive behaviors. It's really going to hold you back from typically getting wherever it is that you want to go. It's definitely not going to be an enjoyable journey. You might get what it is that you want. Guilt might drive you to get what it is that you want, but I promise you, if you are suffering with guilt and shame, it's not going to be an enjoyable journey. So if you're going to go down that path and actually obtain whatever it is that you are wanting to achieve, why not do it from a place that actually feels good?
Nice.
So guilt is a choice.
Yeah.
And that's that can be a jagged pill right there. I know. But I promise you, guilt is a choice. You can choose to question the thought that is creating the guilt and the shame that you're experiencing, and you can start to poke holes in it, because I promise you, it's coming from the primitive part of your brain that is offering you a bunch of dramatic thoughts. And you don't have to think those thoughts. You do not have to believe them. You can like choose to think and believe something that makes you feel even slightly better. Even if you go for neutral, it's better than guilt.
Yeah. I like how you circled that back around, back to, you know, just asking yourself that question, you know, and then damn, boom, you're right there at the self acronym, you know. Start with a decision. I like that. Yep. All right.
A lot of our listeners go through the self-guilt thing, especially those who were in combat. They had that guilt thing saying, why them, not me? Or why did it happen this way and I'm here and they're not here? Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, I understand the primitive brain and all that. And how do they, I guess, fight that to come back to saying, how do I build and grow stronger from this?
Yeah. So it is all about self-coaching. It's asking yourself, it's continuing to keep the conversation with yourself going. And like I said earlier, you know, it's really easy for me to sit on this side of the computer and say, you know, you have to ask yourself these questions and, oh, and don't forget to answer the questions. I know that I'm talking to people who have been in extraordinary circumstances that I will likely never see. So first off, I would say, be gentle with yourself, be kind to yourself. No, none of you asked to be put in that situation, but you were. So have some empathy for the circumstance that you found yourself in. And when you have that kind of empathy, you start to crack the door open into discovering other factors. There are probably gifts and opportunities that have come from your survival that if you gave yourself a moment to consider what some of those gifts and opportunities may be, it will start to become clear. You'll start to have a different perspective. The guilt and the shame will start to extinguish, and you'll start to have more clarity on why you are here. And you'll start to see that, you know, the black and white thinking of why did I survive and why didn't they is not serving you. It's not a good question to be asking yourself. Mm. Does that make sense? That is,
yeah, it makes a great sense to me. RJ, I can't speak for you, but I know that it makes sense for me now. It took me a while to get over that hump. RJ knows what we went through in 2010, 11. It took a while for me to come out of that cloud. And I did exactly what you just said. I realized that it wasn't my fault. It's just the way things happen. I can't stop someone from getting shot. I can't stop someone from getting blown up. But that things happen. You can feel bad about it, but you have to move on in order to live your life and to live the life the way they would have wanted you to live. And that's my perspective now. I have to live my life the way they would have wanted me to live. And I'm sure RJ has a similar anecdote for that as well.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It does make sense. And I mean, you hit it right hit the nail right on the head, Rich. You know, and it's a hump. It's a quite a bit of a hump to get over, you know, because some similar things happen to us that is still here, you know, yeah. And that same exact situation happened to those who didn't make it. And, you know, and we live with that thought and it becomes a suffering or a suffering, pain and suffering. You know, and yes. And so it's just, and I don't know, it's just, you know, it's just one of those things, you know, just gotta, it is a, like I said, it was just a big hump to get over. And it took me quite a lot. And sometimes I still kind of, I have my moments, right? But I'm stuck here because something just come up, you know, like, Why did I just say, you know, why do we use pain and suffering, right? So that brings my next question.
Yeah. I think that there's a difference between pain and suffering. I think pain has a purpose. I think pain will serve as an indicator for us, and we can learn from it, and it will really kind of trip us, like kind of trigger us to make a choice. Suffering, I believe, is unnecessary. I think we often suffer, but I don't think that it's necessary. I don't think our children need to suffer in order to learn. I don't think adults need to suffer. And I think what it is when you're feeling pain, and then let's say you're feeling guilt or shame, and then you judge yourself, you make that mean, the fact that you're feeling that, you make that mean that you're broken or that you're a bad person or that you don't know how to handle your emotions, whatever the narrative is.
Yeah.
That's suffering.
Yeah.
It's when you're layering unnecessary pain on top of pain. That's what I consider suffering. It's unnecessary. Pain is necessary. We all have it.
Yeah. No, yeah.
We're human. We all are meant to feel all of the emotions on the entire spectrum. And the more extreme pain that you feel, you're going to be able to have the capacity to feel the exact opposite. You're going to be able to feel the extremes of joy only because you have felt the contrast. So yeah. It's necessary. It's also, yeah. Like I said, it's also an indicator that there's a choice to be made where, again, suffering, I think we don't have it.
I like what you said there. And thank you for sharing that with all of us here. Right? No matter who you are, all walks of life, we all need this. But you said something that was profound. You said pain, you believe, is something that you learn from. Or and Rich, know from the time like my last few years in the military to literally, I want to say last year. So that was over 10 plus years. And I was dealing with a low back issue, and come to find out, I know what it is now. You know, really aggressive. What do they call it? I forget I don't really care about the terms really, but so between my S1 and L5, I've been dealing with pain there, and arthritis is the term I was thinking of.
Okay.
And for so long I've been struggling with it. It took me out for a while, and I just was like you said, I was building on other layers of pain. And I was suffering over time.
Yep.
But once I went to acceptance commitment therapy, ACT, and they put it to me like this, and this really taught me the lesson of really being able to accept that pain. They were like, think about, do you have a family member that you just don't get along with? And I'm like, oh, yeah, my sister. Oh, man. Me and her do not get along. And they were like, think about it like this. They're always going to be a part of your family. And you're going to have to deal with them no matter what. It's just on how you react to it. And my pain from my back taught me that. I'm like, man, I'm always having this pain. I just got to figure out how to react to it. And so now that was my lesson from my back injury to teaching me how to, you know, get along with and accept and, you know, still be, you know, a decent sibling to my sister.
Yeah. So, I love the word accept. It's like accept and allow instead of resist.
Yeah.
Resisting is when you're pushing against a circumstance that you have no control over. Your sister, she exists. Yep. Back pain, it exists. The more you resist it, the more like we start to agitate it, right? Mm-hmm. And we start to kind of layer on more suffering, more pain, unnecessarily. Yep. But if you accept it and allow it to be there, now you kind of open up to it and there is no unnecessary pain or AKA resistance. Mm-hmm. So I love the fact that you said that. And I would challenge you, instead of asking yourself, like, how am I going to react to it?
Mm-hmm.
Use the word respond, because respond is a slower, more intentional, it's a little bit more methodical, where reacting is more of like that knee jerk. There's less thought behind it.
Yep.
So I want you to be thinking about, okay, how am I going to respond to my sister? How am I going to respond to the back pain?
Yep. I like it. I agree now, you know, those are not interchangeable words.
Yeah.
Two totally different words.
Yep. Exactly. And it gives you a lot more control. You will feel way more empowered.
Yeah. So there's a choice, a decision I have to make.
That's exactly it.
Yep.
A very you good got this, RJ. Nice work.
He's on that recovery mountain, so he's doing great. Been climbing that mountain, and he's doing great things. And he knows I say this to him all the time. I'm so proud of where he is now based on when I forced him to come on here. and explain himself to the world. And he's doing much better now.
Yeah.
And we've been talking about a lot of 100% night and day difference. And you can look in the mirror and see that yourself. And you know how happy you are now and how free you are. We've been talking a lot about you and making decisions for you and yourself. What's the difference between you and yourself, Tracy?
Oh, so you, like when people think about the physicality of a human and they kind of think about, you know, what they see when they look in the mirror, it's kind of the physical manifestation of you. I like to think of you and yourself, it's kind of a duality, and self, I think, is conceptually, it's your past, your present, and your future. And you get to decide the narratives that go along with your past self, your present self, and your future self. And it takes some ingenuity. It takes some creativity. I think when you realize that nobody gets to narrate that story of your past, present, and current self, it's such an empowering place to be. And you get to decide who that person is. And so it's very different when you think of yourself as the past, present, and future that you get to script, you get to orchestrate, you get to architect, versus the you that's staring back at you in the mirror, the physical manifestation. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does to me. RJ, how about you?
Yeah, I love it.
I think that was straightforward to me. I mean, that's pretty good. And I know every day as we wake up, we start making decisions. Do I want that nice warm bed? Do I want to go into work? Do I want to call in and say, hey, I can't make it today? What is the critical step people miss when they're making these life-changing decisions like going to work in the morning?
I think it's really not understanding yourself. It's really like following some sort of script, doing what you think other people would want you to do, following the cultural norm, and really not asking yourself what it is that you want and why, and really making sure that you like your reasons. Like, it's very, the people pleasing, like, saboteur narrative that runs rampant. There are so many people out there just living to people please, and that's a very manipulative way of living. It's not a very honest way of living. You're like, you're sacrificing what it is that you want, like at your own expense, and you're not being very authentic, very genuine, very, you know, transparent. You're living almost like a lie. And I promise you, the people pleasers out there are probably nodding their head because they're full of resentment. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't want to have to make these sacrifices, but they do it because they think that it's, you know, how they're going to win people over. Mm-hmm. So the antidote to that is making decisions ahead of time. Like, asking yourself, what is it that I want? And do I like my reasons for making that decision?
Yeah,
definitely.
Wow. Yeah, that's good. You know, I like what you just kind of made me realize, you know, that when you are your authentic self, your authentic and genuine self, you leave room for compromise as opposed to sacrifice.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
you don't have to defend it, right?
Like,
yeah, you can leave room for compromise. I talk to my clients every single day about making a decision ahead of time. It's like the most empowering, like, strategy you could ever deploy. Make a decision ahead of time so that you don't find yourself in these knee-jerk reactions. And here's the deal. The reason why people don't make decisions is because they're afraid. They're afraid of failing. Well, here's the good news. You can make a completely different decision in 10 minutes, like 10 minutes later. Nobody is going to hold your feet to the fire and say, you just made this decision. You can also, you have free will. You can make another decision 10 minutes down the road, right? Like, but people don't make decisions because they're so afraid of failing. Well, here's the reality. If you don't make a decision because you're afraid of failing, you're failing ahead of time. That's all that's happening.
When I first got my dog, his name was Sarge. Right now, one of my best friends is living with him now. But when I first got him, he was just so tiny. He ended up learning how to get up the stairs, but he was scared to come back down the stairs. And I was like, man, you just got to do it. So, you know, I kind of was just like, give him a little nudge, like just to kind of help him along the way. I knew his goal was to get to the bottom of the stairs, but how, I didn't know how he was going to do it, but he ended up falling and tumbling down. I was like, well, you made the choice. You made it. You reached your goal. You know, so I kind of used that as, you know, you can't be afraid of failure. Sometimes you can fail into success.
Absolutely.
You know, you make that step, you might trip and fall, but hey, you fail into where you needed to go anyway.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we started off talking about how I felt like I was an entrepreneur trying to fit into an employee's body. Yeah. And I finally broke into the world of entrepreneurship. And I'll tell you what, my business has been built on a pile of failures. Yeah. Way more fails than successes.
Yeah.
Way more. And you know what? That's how I've learned. That's how I've grown this business. And so if you are afraid of failing, like, you are going to stunt your own growth. You have to be able to, like, wrap your arms around failure. It's just like with your sister, and it's just like the back pain. Yeah. Allow it to be there. Be willing to fail.
You have
to accept it. It's part of life.
Yep. That's it.
And with every failure, it's not how you fail, it's how you recover from said failure.
Mm-hmm.
Like old Sarge, when he was falling down the stairs, going up the stairs, he had to fall down the stairs to figure it out.
Yeah.
He figured it out, though. Getting through the back pain, same thing, fighting it out. Tracy getting through being the closet entrepreneur. You figured it out and you came out. You didn't fail, you succeeded. Because we're judged on how many times we get up, not how many times we fall. It's how many times you get back, and you got to get in there and rock out. And that's what we preach here as much as possible.
Awesome. I love it.
And now, we've talked about a lot of stuff from you, but we did not talk about your podcast, Tracy and Gracie on Becoming a Podcast. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So my daughter, Gracie, graduated from college just this last May. So she is 23. She was getting her degree in psychology and thought she was going to follow in my sister's footsteps. My sister is a clinical psychologist, and I kept saying, you might want to check out the world of coaching. It's so much better than the world of clinical psychology. And, thankfully I won her over. And so she has come to work with me. She's my business partner now at Self Made You. And she has her own, she's a dating coach. So she's helping people learn how to date differently. And we have our own podcast called Tracy and Gracie Becoming, because I truly believe that all human beings are in this evolving state of becoming, that there is no finish line. That once we decide what it is that we want, we are on this perpetual journey of becoming what it is that we want to become. And so we just talk about, you know, yesterday's was becoming emotional, was our podcast. And we would be very remiss if we didn't talk about how emotional we were at hearing about the loss of Toby Keith. We're huge country music fans in our house, and we were so sad to hear of his passing. And so we started off by talking about that. And then we just talked about how we're in the month of February, and, you know, there's a lot of love talk and romance going on, and what it means to be an emotionally fit person and what it looks like to process emotions. So we talk about everything from love to business to relationships to, you know, I don't know, health and wellness. And so it's kind of fun because you get the different perspective, the different generational perspectives. I'm in my 50s and she's in her 20s. And so it's really fun to be able to host that alongside of my daughter.
Man, I got you guys heard it here first. I'm using my Barry White voice. She's got a dating coaching going on over there. Y'all might want to go ahead and hit her up.
Yep. And her next program is for men. It's for men. So,
See, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. There it is. You heard it here first.
I was gonna say, I was definitely listening because it's a young lady's perspective, and that'll help you out a lot.
Bring all the notebooks you got.
She's killing it. She gives great advice and she's got a huge following. So you definitely have to look her up.
That's awesome.
Well, I guess we have to get her on the show here soon too, to maybe teach us some lessons that are RJ.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I know nothing.
it's a huge curve, man.
Yeah.
Tracy, this has been awesome chatting with you for the last 50 minutes. I can't believe it's been 50 minutes already.
Oh, it's been
pretty quick.
Yeah.
What's the best way for anyone in the audience to get in contact with you, for maybe just to chat with you or maybe to get you to come on their show?
Yeah, you can find us at www.self-made.com. We have tons of free resources. We have free coaching opportunities, group coaching, one-on-one coaching programs, you name it. And so just go to that website. That's kind of our one-stop shop to being able to get in touch with us and all of our social media channels.
Outstanding. And Tracy, we always ask this before we let a guest leave. Can you give three tips to our audience to maybe live a better life and be more successful?
Yes, I absolutely can. I would say every day when you wake up, before your feet even hit the ground, I want you to ask yourself, how am I feeling? I want you to name that emotion. And you will realize that's not an easy thing to do. A lot of people will give like the common four. I'm happy, I'm mad, I'm sad, I'm bored, right? But getting yourself into the habit of asking that question and really pinpointing how it is that you're feeling. So that would be the first one. And then secondly, ask yourself why. Why am I feeling that way? The answer is the thought that's running through your head. So when you can start connecting the dots between the feeling that you are experiencing and the thought that's causing it, you start to become a very mentally fit, very aware person. And then secondly, I want you to remind yourself that you are not the common denominator to your problems, that you are the solution, that you can rely on yourself to solve your own problems. You don't have to look outside of yourself. And all you have to do is remember the SELF acronym. And you can go to our website. You can download a infographic of that if that's helpful for you. You start with a decision. You eliminate the self-sabotage, leverage your strengths, and finish with a decision. And it's just a cycle, a perpetual cycle that you take every step of every single day, every minute of every day. And before you know it, you start living the life that you want to be living.
Awesome.
Nice.
Thank you, Tracy. Great advice. RJ, you have any closing comments?
No, I can't top that one. That's good.
Thanks for having me. It was so fun to meet you guys.
Yeah, likewise, Tracy.
Thanks for having you on here. And if we can ever help you in the future, maybe if RJ or I can come on your show and maybe just share some of our brain waves with you, we add value to it. It'd be awesome to come out and hang out with you.
Yeah. Awesome.
Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Bye-bye.
This message is from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Did you serve in the military? If so, you can obtain a free lifetime pass to more than 2,000 federal recreation sites. These sites are located across more than 400 million acres of public lands, including national parks, wildlife refuges, and forests. The lands host activities to fit any lifestyle: hiking, biking, fishing, camping, and much more. Gold Star families are also eligible for these free lifetime passes. Plus, they cover entrance fees for a driver and all passengers in a car, or up to three additional adults at sites that charge per person. Obtaining one is easy. Just go to the National Park Service website, nps.gov, or the National Park Service app.
Thanks for checking us out and being a part of the Misfit Nation show. Don't forget to visit our website at themisfitnation.com. That's themisfitnation.com. Check out all our past episodes and get some of the great Misfit Nation gear for you and your family. As always, be humble, stay hungry, and keep hustling, because we are
Misfit Nation.